All right. Welcome to another episode of the Front Row Material. Brandon, Front Row Referee. My name is Mike Freeland. I am joined by Nick Papachi and the Buttster himself, the man from Canada. We'll soon be joined by Jim Molino, ECW referee. He'll be joining us a little bit later. Coming up on tonight's debate, tonight's topics, we're going to talk about Kevin Nash requesting to be at Sting's final match. Unfortunately, WWE has put a kibosh on that. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Eric Bischoff is not fond of AEW. He seems to have something up his crawl for that. He actually says that it's bad for the wrestling industry. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. We're also going to be talking about the biggest pops that our referees have ever experienced while they're in the ring. Would love to know what that is. Also, I've always wanted to know, how do the refs get a special guest referee ready for a match itself? Is there some things that they need to crash course this special celebrity on to know what to do and what not to do? Also, we're going to talk about Lumi. Yes, guys, you've heard about it before. It's a deodorant that can be used anywhere on your body. I'm going to talk about that, just being a bigger person. I'm curious about using Lumi. And we're going to get everyone else's opinion on that. Buttster's going to be ringing in the conversations with something that he did. Very curious to know. He went on a road trip. He's going to share with us exactly where he went and what he did. And all that, and I'm pretty sure a whole lot more. Let's go ahead and let's bring him on in. Let's first talk to Mr. Christopher Butt. What's going on, brother?
This is it, Mike. Another day done. Another Tuesday hanging out with you and Nick, who I still don't like. But nonetheless, we're here.
About right. It's like my wife.
I tell you what, this is like couples therapy right here.
Just want to get that out of the way at the beginning.
Let's go ahead and let's throw it to Nick Papaji, referee extraordinaire all over the world. He's been in the ring with big name stars, and he's still helping groom the next generation of referees and talent. Nick, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys? How are you? It's been a while.
It has. It's been a few weeks.
I'm awake right now, too, on top of that. I stayed awake this time.
Yeah, I got my teeth pulled a few weeks ago. Yeah. And then I was away on a retreat. I was leading some young men into a spiritual retreat.
Poor kids.
Jesus Christ.
I help these young men find themselves in that, and I also help instill confidence in them. And
you take them into the woods, Mike. We've had this conversation.
I did take them into the woods. Now, that was in October, and that didn't quite go the way we thought it would. However, there's always time for redemption. So they gave me a second shot. I didn't lose anybody this time.
Oh, God.
It's an improvement. I'm one of their best chaperones.
Oh, God. You just don't strike me as a guy I would want guiding me around in the woods. Sorry, Mike.
I'm a beacon of light, man. I'm like positive, and I've got a lot of things to share. And I got a lot of woods experience as well. You might not think so. But have either one of you guys ever seen the show Naked and Afraid? I believe it's a Discovery Channel show.
Me and my wife actually make fun of the commercial all the time when we see it. Sorry.
Okay, well, that was that one.
We just don't understand why they got to be nude. I just don't understand that part.
Can't say I've ever watched it.
So Naked and Afraid is basically a show where they throw people out in the wilderness to try to survive, basically like our primitive ancestors. And as we all know, our primitive ancestors did not have clothing. They might have had, you know, pelts and whatnot and loincloths. But I think I could do all right out there. I really would. I don't think anybody would be distracted by me.
Okay, so me and you, who lasts longest?
Oh, there's no doubt I think you would. Absolutely you would. You live in Canada, for God's sakes. It's this far from being a third world country.
I live in a city, Mike.
That doesn't
matter. I live in a subdivision.
That doesn't matter. I'm telling you what, right now it's crazy. You got ice everywhere. You got animals roaming. Blizzards.
Lizards?
This is Australia.
No, we don't have too many of them.
I said blizzards.
Oh, I thought you said lizards.
No, lizards. I don't know if
yeah, you have we lizards had one. Yeah, You just had a blizzard too. Yeah, fair enough.
But well, Nick, let me ask you this. Let's just say you weren't naked, but let's say you were left out in the wilderness, right? How long do you think, like, let's say you're given a backpack and you're given five supplies. All right, this goes for both of you. Five things you can put in a backpack. What are we putting in the backpack here? You have to survive for 30 days by yourself, completely nothing else, five items in a book bag. What are you putting?
I'm just putting food and water. That's about it. Variation of like seltzer water and shit like that.
Okay.
That's about it. Obviously, okay. You can't. Your phone will be dead within the day, so that's going to be null and void. Plus, you probably won't have any kind of signal to go along with it, too. So,
you will not. You will not. Butster, how do you survive in everyday life where you're at?
Where I'm at? Well, yeah. I go to the fridge when I'm hungry. I go to the supermarket when I need food.
What would you put in your bag?
My bag, fire.
Need a black extension. Yeah, either one.
Pocket knife.
And then my,
most people want. Definitely want fire, you want a knife.
Okay, fire. How are you going to make fire? You going to do a flint rock, or are you going to do?
No, I'd probably just go with a lighter. Like a good lighter.
A good lighter, okay. And a good knife.
You got to have a knife. Like a Leatherman. Multi-tool type of thing.
Oh, look at you dropping a
possibly an axe, a rope for sure.
Okay, what they call cordage.
Yeah, and
just saying under the words.
A tarp.
In a tarp. Oh, okay, that makes sense. A tarp.
That'll get you started.
Nice. Because
you think you got with your tarp, you can rig out some kind of shelter if you need be. You know, you can wrap it around yourself if you need for that hard up for any kind of blanket. You got fire, obviously, because you eat. There's just something to cook on. A knife, because you're always going to need to cut something or whatever it would be. Just strikes me as useful things.
No, I agree with that. I think if I were to put things into a book bag, I would get one of those life straws. That would be the first thing I would get.
What's that?
A life straw? A life straw is one of those things where you can get these at, God, a lot of different places. Basically, you can drink out of anything with it. It purifies all things. It's like a straw, but you can put it into lake water, river water, anything like that, and you can drink straight out of it. So I would take a life straw first because got to stay hydrated.
Yep.
You know, you got to stay hydrated. Second thing I would take would probably be, yeah, I'd probably have to go with, I don't know if I would go with a gun or a knife.
Well, I know guns were an option.
I said five things.
In a backpack.
Yeah, in a backpack. You could
put a shotgun in a backpack.
You could put a 9mm in there.
What are you going to do with a 9mm, Mike?
Take something down. No different than anything else.
You can't hunt with a 9mm.
I'm telling you, you put a 9mm in a buck's head, he's done.
You can't get close enough.
No, I can. I'm stealthy. I can get close enough. I do.
Within 20 feet?
Put me in a ghillie suit? Shit, man. You wouldn't even realize it. Tell you what, I'm stealth like that. No, I would take a life straw. God, I gotta have something. I would probably take a 9mm, and I would probably take a couple cartons of bullets. So I got a gun, I got some water. I think I'm all right. I can make my own cordage, and I had a. Make my own little hut. I think I'll be all right.
What are you going to make a cord out of?
There's a lot of different things you can use. You can strip down different vines and whatnot. I know how to braid them as well.
You have a lot of vines in Ohio?
A lot of vines. There's a lot of vines out there.
Okay.
Sorry, technology's killing me right now.
No, you're good. Yeah,
as you probably can tell.
I think if the three of us were out there in the wilderness, I think we would be able to last 30 days.
Well, maybe you guys. I'll be dead after 12 hours.
Oh,
no,
my
you're not enough oarsman, Nick?
What's that? Oh, I never was. I never was, actually. I never was and never would. I never go on camping or any. I'm not a camping person or a fishing person or any of that stuff. My dad and grandpa were. They were news people.
So are you just opposed to fishing? Is it just not your?
I'm not a seafood person, so I don't even eat fish or any of that stuff. So yeah, I do not none of that stuff, unfortunately.
No, it's understandable.
Weird, I know.
Well, you know, when you're out there and you're eating different food, it's always nice to have something to go on top of that food, and that kind of takes us into our next conversation here of
cheese.
For those of you who aren't super familiar with this, a couple weeks ago, we were talking. I don't even know how the conversation started, but we started.
I was talking something with Jim.
I probably
blame Jim. Let's blame Jim.
Thanks a lot.
He's not here to defend himself at the moment, so.
I think it was something about the cheesesteaks.
Philly cheesesteaks. Yeah. Yes. And somebody said that they're not good. The two main staples in Philly are not actually, because a Philly cheesesteak, an original Philly cheesesteak, is with Cheese Whiz, correct?
Oh, God. My wife's going to yell at me right now, probably. Captain Gino's are pain. Oh, no.
Where's she from?
She actually grew up in South Philly. She's not that far from our sports complex on there. So that's actually where, like, Pat's and Gino's were that's all the tourist stuff that you go to. Like, so all the fans, when they're coming in for Mania a couple months and stuff like that, they're all going to be going to Pat's and Gino's trying to get a good cheesesteak, and they're going to probably shit their brains out most likely. So,
well, I mean,
God willing, but
we'll get to the shitting part, because that kind of, where Lumi comes in, it can kind of create a lot of clean area. But let's get your wife back in on this. So where would she go? Because she is a Philadelphia person.
And well, I grew up in Philly too, but yeah, I'm not a. Meg, you want to come in here real quick?
Get her on the cam.
Get her. Come here.
Let's talk Philly cheesesteaks here.
Come here. Oh, you've got clothes on.
You've got clothes.
We're going to get ratings here.
I was just about to say. I mean, I ain't objecting to anything. We're talking food and a woman coming on the camera. This is the best topic we've had in years.
This might be 26 subscribers now. Shit.
We can only hope.
I would hear about this, because I guess I was always told that a Philly cheesesteak is from those two places. It's not the Penn Station stuff that you normally would get. So what is the ingredients? Get her. I want to see Meg, because
no.
Oh, she's objecting to going on camera. God forbid, on there. You'll hear a voice from the background. That's about it. What kind of cheese goes on the cheesesteak? Or normally, is it American, right?
I think it's Cheese Whiz. I'm always an American.
She's always an American. I'm like, and then you all also get Whiz, which we call wit or without.
No, okay.
It's wit. Yes, wit.
But wit is Cheese Whiz and onions. Wit out is with Cheese Whiz, no onions. You messed that up.
Wow, I would not.
Nick just got scolded.
She's
what else is
kick right here. Holy,
this is why I sleep on the couch with the cats.
Wow, she's hardcore.
In my defense, he starts it every time.
I believe that.
He's not as innocent. Facts. Yeah, he's not as innocent as people think he is.
I'm gonna hit the leave button now.
I have no idea what this woman looks like, but I have a feeling she looks like Marissa Tomei. Am I correct in this?
Oh God,
no, she's blonde. She's blonde with short hair, like me. Or not really,
What do you mean, like you? Blonde with short hair? Have you?
No, I don't have blonde. I don't. I bleached my hair before, but not anymore.
Oh, nice. So what is the meat itself? Is it just flank steak, or is it really thin sliced? What are we talking here?
It's like flank steak.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like that minute steak stuff, basically, that you see.
I think the owner of Gino's actually invented it. That's where it started, from him.
Possibly. So who knows? Yes. Nobody goes to it. You get mugged. You get mugged there. It's a bad part of South Philly.
I was just about to say, if I want to go right now and I want to get a Gino's cheesesteak, what am I ballpark, right? What am I paying here?
Yeah, you're gonna probably pay almost like 12, 13 bucks, if not more.
Is this inflation. A big sandwich?
Foot long? Maybe?
I've never had a foot long.
A foot long, give or take 12 inches?
Bigger. Neither has Megan.
Okay, that all right. We're
maybe before
here.
Me, I don't know.
Well, I was talking about Mike's Megan, but I'll throw you in there too.
That's terrible. It's bad genetics on my dad's side. I saw him shower once and I thought, I got no hope. So $12 or $13 for a authentic Philly cheesesteak. So yeah. you order it, if you don't order it right, is it kind of like Starbucks? They'll be like, get out of here.
They might as well. They'll probably just look at you with a scolding face, almost basically. But yeah, they're probably used to it now with all the tourists that go through there. You know, at least if it's Pat's and Gino's, you got Pat's, Gino's, and then Tony Luke's that you see. Tony Luke's is the other one.
Okay, I've heard of Tony Luke's. I've never.
That's the better of the. If you're gonna rate the three, that's actually the three to go with. Or at least that's actually number one to go with. And then Pat's and Gino's, you could just, it doesn't really matter what you do.
Don't forget Jim's.
On there. And you got Jim's Steaks, too. There's another one. That's another one. Like, these are all the popular ones that all the Mania people are going to go to, most likely.
Well, as
probably
we
get mugged, too.
Good God. As we get closer to Mania, I want, Nick, for you to take me as if I were coming in for Mania weekend. I want you to give me good places to go if I'm coming in, so our listeners can hear what's a good place to stay, the whole nine yards. If I am going to go sightseeing, what things are worth seeing, which things are not worth seeing. Am I going to see the Liberty Bell? Am I going to go see the Rocky Balboa thing?
That's probably the only one you want to go with is the Balboa statue. Everything else, that's all like downtown Center City stuff. Now, actually, I think the Balboa statue is down. That's actually, I think, of the Art Museum. So it's kind of downtown. So it's not too.
But kinda. It's still outside, right?
It's still outside. It used to be the Balboa statue actually used to be outside the Spectrum back in the day. On there. And actually, I think it was actually at the Wells Fargo Center back in the early days when that opened up in 96.
Wow.
And then I think they finally moved it somewhere on Earth, back by the art museum where you can run the art museum steps. You probably see, you know, all that stuff in the movies and stuff like that. So
nice
on there. But yeah, that's really about all you want to see. If you want to go anywhere else in Philly, stay outside of Philly. Stay in Jersey if you want to. You're probably better off because yeah. they're gonna just destroy you with pricing and stuff like that, with everything. I know there's a place called Live Casino, which is I don't even think it's even a quarter of a mile away from Lincoln Financial, where Mania is being held at, right by the complex. Normally they would charge you about $400 to $500 a night on a weekend, because, you know, typical casino hotel, you know, on there. So that's a basic price. If you actually go on their website, I think they actually charge you for that Saturday. They're charging $1,100 a room. So they knew about it ahead of time. And this was about 9 months ago I saw this. So God only knows where they are now.
Do you have any travel lodges or anything like that? Or
There's travel lodges. We had Red Roof Inn. There's a couple of them by the airport. There's a Sheraton, I think, by the airport, too. I know there's one down now.
What are we talking price wise if you're wanting to do a Sheraton? Like
you're probably about $300-$400.
Oh my god. What about a Red Roof? More. What about a Red Roof?
No, $79.99 probably.
That's perfect. That is perfect.
You got Hotel 6.
A shot of penicillin after.
listen, for $79, I'll take a case of the herps. I can get that fixed. I got a guy.
Beautiful.
What you do?
So, speaking of all of this stuff, this was trying to segue into cheese, which we were so eloquently speaking about. So once again, it's gonna be flank steak, thinly sliced, seasoned with Cheese Whiz, and it's on a Kaiser roll. I want to say, is that right?
Yeah, that's what makes up the whole cheese steak. Actually, there's a bakery called Amoroso Rolls, actually, which is probably the best one that you could probably get. Get a cheesesteak on, actually.
Nice. I've been looking in my grocery store for Cheese Whiz, and I have not seen it. Is that something that's still?
That's
can you
still
find
there.
It at your local grocery store?
I can find a bunch of that. Like, you get like that salsa con queso stuff, you know.
Oh,
you
okay.
can get it's probably down that. It's probably down that aisle, most likely.
Gotcha. And it doesn't need to be refrigerated until you open it, so it's probably good till.
Oh yeah,
so mine is 65.
Yeah, just like cockroaches, it'll survive the apocalypse, so you'll be fine.
And Twinkies.
Yeah, exactly. Twinkies is the other one. That's right.
All right, Butster. So getting back in a very long roundabout way, we were talking about cheese a few weeks ago. So what is your whole issue with cheese? What did you do? Please share. The floor is yours.
Don't have an issue with cheese. But no, listen to you knuckleheads talking about American cheese. I had to know what it was.
That's the best cheese, Merca.
So I decided to drive to America. I drove to upstate New York one day on my day off. Went into a store. It was a Kroger. Like an asshole, I asked for some American cheese. They took me to the cheese slices. I said, "This is American cheese?" "Yep." "Okay, never mind." Left there. Went, "I'll go to a deli." Can't go wrong with deli, right?
Hold on, pause. There was no deli at the Kroger?
Well, they had a little crappy one, but I went to like a proper deli.
Because you're bougie. Okay, continue.
Well, no, because I'm done fucking around here. So I went to a deli. Stroll on in. I'm looking for American cheese. The guy looked at me like I had 500 fucking heads. He said, "You want American cheese?" "Yep." "Cheese slices." "Like, this is American cheese?" "Yep." Okay, so I got a pack of cheese slices and I drove back home.
Wait a minute, time out. Like Kraft singles, like individually wrapped? Yeah, like
cheese slices.
That's bullshit. The deli should have sliced it for you.
No, apparently American cheese is cheese slices. So, between you two knuckleheads and Jim when he gets on, you owe me $25 each for gas and wasting my time.
We owe you trans. You're in my footsteps now.
And I think that's pretty cheap, too, just for the record. I want $25 each. I want $25 American, though, not $25 Canadian. I want that extra.
Well, hold on a second. So you went to a deli, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you've heard of other types of cheeses, right?
Yes, Michael.
Like Gouda, Swiss, yes. Provolone, and mm-hmm. you've experienced all of those, right?
Of course.
Okay, but you've never experienced American cheese.
No, because we don't have American cheese in Canada.
Right. Do you have Canadian cheese? Do you have a nationality of your own?
Yeah, we call it cheese.
Okay. So what did you think when you tried the slices? Did you like it?
No. It's processed crap. If I wanted cheese slices, I would just went to the supermarket here. I'm envisioning it's real cheese.
Well, it is.
No. Processed cheese is not real cheese.
No, not the stuff you got, but you can go to a deli. Nick, back me up here. I'm drowning.
Yeah, I don't know why they even gave you that shit. All kidding aside.
Why did they give you that it's real cheese? It's really? Like a big block.
Well, not yeah. in Watertown, New York.
Oh, well, there's nothing good comes out of New York anyway. So
pretty sure the Ontario license plate's on my vehicle. And I had my Moosehead Brewery jacket on with the Canadian flag on the sleeve.
Yeah, they wanted you out. They want. We're done with immigrants at this
I've
point.
I've been thrown out of classier places than the States. So
I'm surprised that the Border Patrol didn't follow you.
Hey, be that guy.
Hey, did you have to pay duty to get your cheese back in or what?
No, I don't charge a duty on food.
Oh, there's no. Wow, that's
no,
interesting.
No duty on food.
Nice.
I had to pay $4 to get back across the border, though. I think it was or $6.
That's poor not bad. Shit. So next time when you come across the border, you and I are supposed to be meeting up Niagara Falls. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know if I want to anymore, but if you send me on a wild goose chase up for American cheese, waste my damn time.
I'm going to send you. Hold on. Do you have a? Nah, never mind. I'll leave that for another day. Let's
go. What, a mailbox? Yeah, we have those up here too.
We're done. We're going to move on to another topic here, which I think is interesting. Sting's last match is coming up. It's going to be at, I don't want to say it's March the 3rd, is it?
3rd, yep.
In March the 3rd, it's going to be coming up here.
Yeah, probably. Yes, whatever, Sunday. Some Sunday.
And third. I think they're going to get about 1,800 people. That's what the range is right now. No, it's going to be a sellout. And it's going to be in the Greensboro Coliseum. And it's interesting, but sometimes when wrestlers have their final matches, they usually bring a little group with them, you know, to celebrate after it's over. And Kevin Nash has said that WWE is not allowing him to attend Sting's last match. Buster, let me ask you this question. We've heard in the past, if you're a Hall of Famer or if you've signed a Legends deal, they can determine what appearances you make, where you go, and don't you think at the end of the day, exceptions can be made?
Well, it should be, but the thing is, a contract's a contract, though. But they should make an exception for this, something like this. No, if it was just for a random AEW pay-per-view, then yeah, you don't want your talent there. However, for something like this, you know, Sting's final match, you know, yeah, Sting wrestled for WWE.
Not long,
but he did. So you would think that they'd let this one go. I would want, there would need to be like, okay, we'll let you go, but you can't be front row, you know, getting shown on the pay-per-view.
What about catering?
Oh, that'd be fine. You're watching from Gorilla, you're watching from a box, something like that. That I have no problem with. I wouldn't want my talent, because WWE and AEW, how much of a feud it really is, I don't know. But they are feuding factions, feuding federations. So I wouldn't want one of my Hall of Famers and a guy who's in a Legends contract with me front row with another company. They're watching the event. Because what does that say? Even though that guy's with us, he's going to watch another federation. That's not a good look for WWE. But I wouldn't bar him from going, though.
Well, there's a lot of things that don't look good right now. I think that would be the least of their worries. But, Nick, let me throw this out at you. You think it's a big deal? They have a guy backstage if he wants to watch a match for one of his buddies who they're both in their 60s. I mean, I just feel like that's a bit much. Yeah, he's under a Legends contract, but, I mean, he ain't on camera. He's not on TV. I mean, at what point do you just say, you know what, go ahead and do it?
Backstage is one thing. You know, there's, you know, typical indie shows, I'm like, we always have random visitors and stuff like that from, like, you know, quote unquote, competing, you know, indie companies and stuff like that. So it's nothing new on that end. I'm like, you know, I guarantee if it was like, you know, Sting had his like last match similar to what Flair had, you know, being just a show by itself with a mixture of talent, you know, I guarantee it Nash will be allowed there, you know, and be shown on camera, no problem. But, you know, since it's an actual AEW pay-per-view, you know, yeah, exactly. That's all right. It's just like back in the day of, you know, you're not going to see WWE talent, you know, on WCW TV or vice versa, you know, back in the day and stuff like that. That's basically what this is similar to, you know, stuff like that. You know, if it was TNA, that's kind of a stretch just because of the, you know, whatever kind of deal, you know, that they have with them. I don't know if there even is a deal with them. I have no idea if there is or not on there, but it's something similar to that. But, you know, since it's actually an actual pay-per-view, you know, that's probably what did it right there.
That makes sense. It's a business thing. It may, you know, draw more people if they see somebody. You're right. Let me ask you this. You brought up a really
good... I said the same thing. You didn't agree with me.
You're from another country. Take care. No. Yeah, I just kicked him off the show. He'll learn. I'm going to put him in timeout for a minute. He doesn't even care. He's drinking his moose whiskey or whatever it is. So anyway, you had mentioned earlier on, just a few moments ago, about there's a lot of people who show up at indie shows backstage. Now, would it be frowned upon or could it even be prevented? Let's say, you know, you're company A and you're working for them, you're in the ring and you know the guys, but they all buy tickets and they all show up. Would the company stop them from coming in the door and sitting in the audience if they had bought tickets?
Such a gray area, really. I guess it would really depend on what the relationship is with the promoter and the talent that's actually going, you know, stuff like that. Because I know there's a lot of pettiness that's over here in South Jersey and stuff like that. You know, Jim can attest to all that stuff too when he comes on later. You know, it's typical indie stuff. I'm like, I guarantee you, you know, there's Canadian indies that are at the same pettiness up there too. On top of that, with you know, with promoter, you know, with promoters and stuff like that. You know, it doesn't matter what you know. It's the indies are basically our territory. You know, that's kind of the way I look at it nowadays. I'm like, we're all like one giant territory, but I'm like, we're all there for the common good. It's as weird as that may sound, I'm like, it's the way to look at it. But you know, it really depends on the talent. Oh no, I know we've had people when back in the day when I was in CCW, you know, there was you know, the owner didn't get along with the GCW owner for whatever reason, and we had some GCW talent come in, you know, but so what? I'm like, they're there to enjoy the show. We have people backstage that we're all friends. We're like, we're all friends. I'm like, nobody's contracted. You know, I can show up anywhere I want to. You know, that's the problem with some of these promoters. I'm like, well, if you work for that person, I'm like, you're not going to be allowed to work for me anymore. I'm like, well, I'm not contracted. The keyword's independent.
Well, and I feel like that's a phrase that we've thrown around so many times in wrestling. You're all independent contractors, which means you get hired for a date or a series of dates. You are not under contract with them. And with that being the pretense, then what's the big deal? Who goes where? I mean, if anything, it actually might spark a little interest. Oh my God, these guys are sitting in this audience. What's going on? But they might not see that way. But you ever had that happen? You ever go and you're in the ring and you're like, oh my God, such and such. Like they got a ball cap on or something, and then they take it off and it's Johnny Dickhead and Flaming Mouth, you know, Rodney or whatever like that. And
oh yeah, we've had stuff like that before. I'm like, 9 times out of 10, I'm like, they're usually underneath the hard cam, so you know, they're not seen on TV or anything like that unless the, you know, one of the floor cams pick them up, you know, depending on, you know, what kind of company you work for, if they have actually floor cams or anything like that. So, but yeah, I never had issues with it or anything like that. I'm like, you know, it is what it is. You know, they're not here to disturb anybody. I'm like, if they want to watch, you know, somebody's match, you know, even back in the day, I think it was 2017 when, Atsushi Onita came back to, America. Yeah. We had him in CCW. You know, he wrestled Matt Tremont on there. I can't tell you how many people from the indies, you know, were out in the crowd, you know, actually just watching that match. You know, because like nobody's, you know, back then, I'm like, Onita wasn't seen in the U.S. for like 30 plus years since like the whenever the was it the down in Memphis or something like that, you know, where he was working at. On there, that was the last time he was in the States before. On there, so oh yeah, there was a shitload that we had of talent, you know, watching shows. Never any issue.
Did you ever think about going to a show wearing your ref shirt and buying a front row ticket, and then every time a ref blows a call, you just stand up and go, "That's bullshit. That's bullshit."
That's me watching AEW TV.
Oh,
here we go.
That's usually what that is.
Now it's not just me that doesn't like Nick anymore.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm going to add it to the list now. You got both of you guys don't like me.
Ref Aubrey wouldn't like to hear that, future Hall of Famer. She's right there.
She's blocked me on Twitter anyway, so it doesn't matter. She can't
Are
see
you serious?
Oh, yeah. I have the screen. Oh, yeah. She blocked me on there.
Jeez. Come on. Yeah.
Yeah, because people can't take criticism, you know, in this business. And sorry, that's the one thing in this business you need is thick skin. You know, you can't take criticism from anybody, it doesn't matter where it's coming from. I'm like, you're not going to make it. Sorry.
You brought up an interesting name, and I've always wanted to interview him, but I haven't had the channels to get a hold of him. But Matt Tremont, in your opinion, I mean, is he one of the icons on the independent circuit? I mean, like, what has made him so well known? I mean, I know he's a deathmatch guy. Like, there's another guy named Valentine. Is it Casanova Valentine?
Casanova Valentine. He's based out of New York. I think he's based out of Brooklyn.
He had a documentary he did. I don't know if it was on A&E or was somewhere where he was. He considers it to be an art form, and he basically got a permit to do like no ring, but it's like up in this area where he just they brawl and bleed. Yeah. And it's so what makes these guys on the independent circuit just, is it shock and awe, or is it like, what exactly is the draw to somebody like a Matt Tremont?
Matt's like, I've known Matt for God knows how long too. I'm like, I've done most, you know, plenty of his matches in a day and stuff like that. So, you know, me and Matt are close because, you know, since I've been with the, you know, he's the founder of H2O Wrestling and stuff like that. So, you know, I've been there since day one with him, with everything. He's got an aura just around him. I'm like, it's just the, you know, like if you just, you could even just Google, you know, his promos that were for promoting the Onita match back in 2017. I'm like, you can easily find them on YouTube. You know, stuff like that. Just it makes you, it's like him and Nick Gage are probably the most realest people that you'll see on the indies as far as promo wise, because they make you believe and they draw you in, you know, and they both have, you know, they both have like powerful like theme songs and stuff like that too. So it's, you know, the crowd gets behind them with, you know, with all of that too on top of it, which is, you know, which is always a plus. But you know, deathmatch wrestling is, you know, it's an art form. You know, those are probably the two best storytellers, you know, in deathmatch wrestling in, you know, in the States. You know, it's, you know, and both of them can wrestle. I'm like, they both can literally, if you want to go 20 minutes, you know, with Nick, I'm like, he'll wrestle you. Same thing with Tremont. You know, he held the IWTV world title for I can't tell you how long, but those were actually, most of them, I think 95% of those matches were all under IWTV rules, which is there's no weapons or anything like that allowed. So, you know, he can go on there. It's just, you know, some guys just choose to do deathmatch wrestling. Nothing wrong with that one bit, but you know, it's a massive art form. I'm like, there's the right way of doing it, you know, with, you know, storytelling and stuff like that. And then, you know, you see all the hack and slash bullshit from like all the backyarders and all that garbage that you'll see, you know, that kind of tarnish the whole art form. I'm like, you know, some of it may not be for everybody. I'm like, you know, if you're not into violence or anything like that, hey, you know, all the power to you. I'm like, nothing wrong with that. I'm like, it is what it is, but you know, you gotta have it. It's basically like if you're a horror fan, you know, a horror movie fan, it's based on a horror movie come to life. You know, that's kind of really where it's at.
What's the backstage like, Nick? At a deathmatch show or after a deathmatch? Like, are the guys just getting stitched up and stapled up and cleaned up in the back by other wrestlers or by refs? And or just like, what's going on?
Most of the time, I'm like, we have the area tarped down, like if we're inside or anything like that, we'll have a tarp down just in case if anybody's like bleeding profusely or anything like that, you know, so they're not going to be bleeding on the, you know, carpeting or asphalt or this or that, that's backstage. I'm like, they'll have at least the tarps on there to go to, but knock on wood, I'm like over at H2O, I'm like, we really haven't had, you know, like serious like injuries or anything like that. You know, every now and then you might see a little bad cut. I'm like, all right, you guys might need some stitches. You know, we have medical on site, you know, and every show, deathmatch show or not, I'm like, there's always medical there, you know, for, you know, just in case if we actually have like a hardcore match, you know, errant chair shot, you know, okay, someone got busted open hard way. It happens, you know, nothing wrong with that. But the atmosphere is actually like usually very, very lively. So we actually just had a deathmatch tournament over the weekend this past Saturday. We actually had one on there, but you would never know. It's just business as usual on there. It's just another show for us on there. We, you know, sold that arena, and they probably drew about 300, which may not seem a lot, but in the building, you know, you can actually check it out on IWTV on demand on there. It's the building was full, like to capacity, like probably over fire code.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, not by any means.
If it draws people in at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
That's what draws nowadays. I'm like, all kidding aside, I'm like, it's what you see AEW doing. Right now they strike while the iron's hot. You know, you see a lot of their What's that gimmick? The Texas Death Match. They like to use.
Oh my God!
You know, with like a, you know, Page or something like that. You know, with Adam Page and Shane Strickland, or you know, whoever they're using, you know, on there.
Speaking of which, you just kind of made a comment about the Matt Tremont promo against Anita, and I thought it was interesting, so I want to pull this up here because
I'm gonna see which one this is. Actually, there's a couple of them. I'm looking at the description. I'm looking at the description on there. I'm trying to see if it's the actual one that I think it is.
Okay, let's take a look at this. Let's queue it up. Let's hear what Matt Tremont has to say.
This is from West Virginia, I believe.
Good, Matt.
You know, sometimes in life, people want to become baseball players, football players. Sometimes somebody wants to cut meat in the deli. Not me. The only thing I'm cutting with my fork, my best friend, is another man's flesh. You see, I just got done in the middle of, by God, West Virginia, slicing and dicing another man into small little pieces. You see, since January of 2007, I have been in this great sport, applying my craft all around the world, doing just that. I've never been one to bestow my own accolades or own accomplishments, but I'm going to read you the list of the violence, of the blood, because this is what it's all for. Carnage Cup, Masters of Pain, two-time King of the Death Matches, Tournament of Death, Lord of Anarchy, Anarchy Champion, Hypersonic Champion, CZW World Heavyweight Champion. At what price? At what cost? For this. You see, at 13 years old, I saw a funker and a butcher in a fire hall in Burlington, New Jersey. And that's what inspired me to be hardcore. And this day and age, there's a new generation of deathmatch warriors. And 5 or 6 some odd years ago, I took the lead and I took the charge to read that revolution. Fast forward to 2016, and I've done all that. I've conquered the world except Japan. Before I'm done, and I hang up these fucking boots, and I put down my fork, the bulldozer Matt Tremont will get to Japan. I will conquer Japan, because Japan is fucking scared. And if I go anywhere with my best friend, it's gonna be FMW. And I want one man, and I want one man only. Onita. Onita. Onita! Onita!
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was only the beginning, too. There's actually a couple other ones, too, after that, that actually, I guess, try to start setting up the match and stuff like that, that we did in August of 2017.
Did you ref those matches, Nick?
I actually ref the original one that he did with Matt and Onita in August of 2017 at CZW, which it turned into a 6-man tag. You know, afterwards, Matt was actually off to Japan then and competed over there with Onita doing the actual explosion matches that you see from old FMW tapes. Onita actually came back over, I think, 2019, over in Philly, December of 2019. He came over for a tag match, actually, and teamed up with Matt. I did that match with it, but then we got actually Onita, and he did an actual baseball stadium in Trenton, New Jersey for H2O Wrestling. He actually did the actual one-on-one match with Matt and Onita. That one I didn't do. Mike Heater actually did that match on there. Actually, I gave Mike that match since I've done enough, you know, Onita stuff. I'm like, Mike's never actually reffed Onita, so I gave him the benefit of doubt there.
Wow. How many people did that draw in a baseball stadium?
We had it. Surprisingly, we drew about, I think, about 7,800 people. That's on there. Was actually it was a Sunday night. It was actually Halloween, I think, 2 years ago, maybe. We're in 24 now. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe Halloween 22.
Wow.
And if you notice his promos too, he only cursed twice. He very, depending on the promo, I'm like, he doesn't really curse that much. Right. On there, so that's kind of a lost art in promos and stuff like that nowadays.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that one. Where do you put, I mean, I know we classify people in different categories. I know there's different Indie Hall of Fames now, and I just passed something on Twitter where somebody was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. Did you see that?
Yeah. They do that every Mania, actually, I believe. They do the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame. They're actually putting Trent Acid in there, actually, is the first inductee into this class of this year on our show. Okay. Brent Acid's no longer with us, unfortunately. It was actually, if you watch old CCW or old any kind of old Ring of Honor, going back to maybe 2002 somewhere, I guess 2001, the old Backseat Boys tag team, Trent was actually a part of that. I forget when he passed away, actually. It's been a little bit, but yeah, he's finally getting his just due now with a Hall of Fame stuff.
I would assume that a lot of guys on the indies, they still have day jobs. Am I correct in that?
Mostly everybody does. I'm like, you know, I got my 7:30 type job, but yeah, it's you know, hopefully some of us, you know, some of them are fortunate enough to actually have insurance, you know, through their jobs too. So, and that's always a plus also.
Because that's normally one of the big things that, you know, prevents people, is because of getting banged up and injured and whatnot, not having coverage. Yep. So a big thing. But let me ask you, I mean, as far as the Indie Hall of Fame, and before we move on to another topic here, who would you say, in your opinion, is somebody who deserves to be in an Indie Hall of Fame for what they've contributed and maybe, in your opinion, not have gotten their just dues?
Jesus, there's a lot. There's a lot. You know, if you look at the list that they had, this is only the third class that they actually did this in on there. I know, I think, like, Excalibur's in there. I think Christopher Daniels is in there.
Jerry's in there. Mike Modest.
Yeah, Jerry Lynn. Yeah, Mike Modest was just in there last year.
Lufisto.
Yeah. I forget some of the other names on there.
Cheerleader Melissa.
Yeah.
I just had it here. Give me a minute. I'll see if I can find
that. Okay. Again. Yeah. But one person I probably would add in there, if you're going to bring up women's wrestling, would be like Sarah Del Rey. You know, Sarah Montos, whatever you want to refer to her as now, you know, with her real name. You know, Daisy Hayes is another one. I'm like, that's a lot. That whole Shimmer class from back then. You know, a lot of people don't realize. You know, they're like the forefathers, or, you know, foremothers, actually. You know, so to speak. You know, women's wrestling. You know,
Homicide.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Tracy Smothers, Dave
Prazak.
Yeah,
I don't know who that is.
He's the actual owner of Shimmer, the women's owner back in the day. You know, Shimmer's no longer around, unfortunately.
Jimmy Jacobs and Paul London. Those are the two classes, 22 and 23. I don't see who's in the 24 class yet.
Yeah, it's just Trent Acid so far. That's the first one they announced. That's last it so time. Far? Yeah.
I think Jimmy Jacobs now works for AEW, I believe.
Yeah, I think he's in a backstage role. I think he's like a producer or something, or agent, whatever.
So interesting. The Hall of Fame on the indie circuit is, you know, there's a group that I feel like should be in a Hall of Fame, and maybe they are. I'm trying to think here. Created the Spanish Fly. I don't know why I keep three guys.
Oh, the three brothers?
Yes.
Or,
why am I blanking?
Are they all,
Oh, God.
You had him on the show, Mike.
I know, but I know I had him on the show. I'm just saying right now I'm blanking. I don't know why. SAT.
Oh, okay. I was just going to go almost amazing red almost. I was going to go down that road, which would have brought us to the SATs.
Yes, SAT. Incredible. I mean, from what they've accomplished. That
hell is, yeah. And who knows? They might even be in there this year. I don't even know. You know, since they're local. You know, at least over here. You know, they're from New York.
Who would you say, if we're talking about, you know, Hall of Fames and all this other kind of stuff? Who would you say, leaving yourself excluded here? Who are some referees?
I'm in one Hall of Fame anyway, but still.
Who do you think does a really good job refereeing on the indies? Obviously, you know, keeping Keener out, keeping Jim out. Who else is out there that you would say, man, I tell you what, they deserve to get an opportunity for a trial?
You know, we actually had him on the show. It is Adam Gaunt, another one. He actually was trained. He was actually trained by Jim on her. He actually came up. He was actually my third referee in CCW before when he was actually first starting out and stuff like that. God, Jesus Christ, there's actually pulling teeth there almost. There's a lot of the other ones. Actually, I work with a guy. He's actually, I think, with TNA right now. I don't know if he's contracted with them or not. So Frankie Gastineau. He actually got me hired in MLW for a little bit.
Nice.
When I was with them. And he actually still works for them, to my knowledge. There's actually, like, the MLW wrestlers are actually not bad. I'm like, none of them are signed or anything like that. So, you know, there's another one, Christy Antonio. He works up at NEW up in Northeast Wrestling. He's actually based out of New York, I believe. He was one of my other running buddies with MLW. He's actually pretty decent on there. But yeah, that's a lot of people, like, you know, Kevin Quinn that you might see up in the Northeast region. He's another one on there. He's been around for maybe about as long as I have, you know, about 15, 16 years, give or take. Maybe a little less. I don't know. I actually honestly forget. On there, but at least that's what it would be on this coast. And like West Coast, I can't really I don't really know too many people out there or anything like that. So a lot of other people, I'm like, they you know, they'll think they're good, but I'm like, when you look at their resume, I'm like, yeah, you've only been around for like 2 years. You know, it's just like
you gotta put your time in a lot longer.
It's almost like when you're a wrestler, you work for a big you work with a big name or a big name company, and like, and then, well, you know, I work for such and such already. I'm like, yeah, but you've only been around a year. You know, it works the same way as referees, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah, granted, I haven't, you know, been all over the world or anything like that. But I'm like, you know, I've worked with top talent and, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, been around a long time.
Where have you toured, Nick?
I've been up and down the East Coast. Obviously, you know, Pennsylvania, Jersey, Delaware. Jersey, Maryland, Florida, Indiana, up and down Northeast, you know, Massachusetts, New York, you know, all over New England. You know, when I was actually with Chikara, we used to tour New England a lot. So I used to do a lot of those trips on there. There was actually a couple times I was supposed to be in Canada that never materialized or anything like that. I actually had gotten, supposed to do a tour of Germany at one point with CCW. That got axed on there just due to personal obligations, unfortunately, got in the way of some stuff on there. So I couldn't leave the country, unfortunately, you know, or anything like that. So, you know, I've been down in, like, Florida, you know, did a lot of, like, seminars down there, you know, with, like, Gabe Sapolsky, you know, a lot of the PC coaches, at least at that time, I've done seminars with, Never got a tryout, though.
Well,
I've been on SmackDown at least, and you know, I was Baron Corbin's bitch, you know, at least. So.
Better than nothing.
Got me 30 seconds of fame there.
Speaking of legends who've been on SmackDown, let's go ahead and let's welcome them in. The hardcore icon, Mick Foley. What's going on, brother?
Yes, I will be working, or I will be on an event with Mick Foley in a couple weeks. So I thought I'd pay a little tribute to him.
I see that.
If I had known we were doing Red Plaid, I would have got mine on, too.
It's also my tribute to you.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate Canadian it. Friend.
Let's go ahead.
And just, I got to throw it in, Blue Oyster Cult Red and Black song.
Very good. Very good. Let's go ahead and let's welcome him in. You've heard his voice. He is a legend in the world of professional wrestling. His name is Jim Molyneux. Jim, how's it been since the last time we spoke?
Excellent. Very good. Doing really well.
Good. So we've literally, just to kind of catch you up here, we've been talking about, obviously, WrestleMania being in Philadelphia. We talked about getting some Philly cheesesteaks, what that's like.
You owe me $25.
Yeah, the Butster went to Western New York to find a place that offered American cheese, and no deli actually offered American cheese, so he had to get Kraft singles individually
wrapped. That's what they told me it was.
I never remember telling you it was Kraft singles.
Hey, well, you knucklehead just said it. It's orange cheese.
Well, hold on a second.
Kraft singles is orange.
51% cheese.
Here's a question for you. Is Velveeta cheese?
No.
Yes.
No. How can it be cheese? When you purchase cheese, right?
Right.
You go to the deli and you purchase cheese. It's under a controlled temperature, right?
Right.
Right. When you buy Velveeta at Walmart, it's correct. On an end cap.
Correct.
Don't you guys also have cheese in a can, in an aerosol can?
Yeah. Great cheese. That's fantastic. It's very healthy.
Yeah, but you got to get rid of the cheese to get to the good part.
What, the air?
Oh, God. Do whippets.
Beautiful.
Well, Mike muted himself, so this will be the best part of the show right now.
He usually is when I show up.
Oh.
Let's let... Let me ask you this. As far as what is truly cheese, do you consider the shake cheese? It looks like dandruff. Do you consider that look like that's cheese?
What? The
shake cheese? It looks
shake you mean, cheese.
You mean like when.
You mean
like,
Parmesan?
Yeah.
Like a Parmesan? Yeah, it's cheese.
But that's on a shelf, on an end cap. That's but not kept been, refrigerated.
It's been freeze dried.
Oh my gosh.
No win situation.
No, never, never. Jim, are you going to get a cheesesteak when you're in Philly?
No.
God.
No. No. I can go around the corner and get one for $5 cheaper, probably.
Are you going to go to McCusker's and meet up with Meanie? Do you plan on doing that?
Actually, I do plan on doing that. I do plan on showing up. I'm working an event that night. Supposedly until 7 o'clock, and hopefully I will make it to McCusker's.
Nice. Anybody you've spoken with so far that you guys are going to try to find time to meet up or anything like that? Any of your ECW family?
Yeah, I just spoke to old time ECW referee Paul Richard.
Where'd you dig him up from?
Oh, I've been playing football for years.
Does he still have his wristbands on?
He may not have his wristbands. I know he doesn't have a ponytail.
Ah, shit.
But no, I'm good friends with Paul. I've known him for a long time, and we've kept in touch. Even though we may not see each other, we keep in touch. And he is coming down with a couple of people from the Boston area for the weekend because one of the people that he is traveling with is also a former ECW original, Mr. Perry Saturn.
Ooh.
So we will be hanging, hopefully, with Perry Saturn for a little bit.
Oh,
I put
Perry
the bug doing? In their ear to show up at Meanie's bash, and they just don't know what time they're going to get in. They're driving down from Boston, so hopefully we'll meet up there at least.
He's doing well these days, Perry?
Perry's doing very well, from what I understand. Paul talks to him every week. Yeah. They have a set time to talk to each other every week. It's great. And because they're not in this thing, the same area. I think Perry's still in the Minnesota area. He might be out in like St. Paul. But I understand he's doing very, very well.
That's beautiful to hear.
So many, many things we've talked about so far, but I want to ask you one question. Were you in were you on in Beyond the Mat?
Yes.
That's what I thought. And there was another referee that was in Beyond the Mat. Do you remember who that man was?
That was John Finnegan.
John Finnegan as well, but there's one more. There's one man who says you never know when your next match is going to be. You always want to stay in shape.
Yes.
The guy on the trampoline?
Mr. Dennis Stamp.
Mr. Dennis Stamp. Now, speaking of referees, this is a referee show. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about Dennis Stamp. Any memories or any interactions with him?
None, really. I never met him. I never heard of him until that movie came out. And yeah, then I found some footage of him. He's not a referee. He's a wrestler. I found him doing carpenter work, as some of us like to call it, on some old AWA tapes. He did a lot of stuff for the AWA. I'm sure that he probably back in the day worked for the NWA in the Texas territory for Dory Funk Sr. and probably for the Texas promotion before Fritz owned it, or maybe when Fritz did own it, or at least when Fritz was there before it became WCCW. He was a wrestler, not bad at all, very good wrestler.
So Dennis Stamp, just for everybody, if you haven't seen Beyond the Mat, I highly recommend seeing it. I personally thought it was a good movie. Dennis Stamp passed away, unfortunately, March 13th, 2017. But Dennis Stamp very much is remembered in that movie. And I'm going to go ahead and just pull up a clip of Mr. Dennis Stamp so we all can relive this. No, Dennis Stamp is a legend. And let
break
me
out the trampoline.
Hold on. Let me pull him up. Because guess what? It's all about getting booked. And yeah. If I'm not booked, I'm not on the show. So
I'm not booked for one thing. I have that meme somewhere.
Let's go ahead and pull up. Let's be introduced to Mr. Dennis Stamp. So let's go ahead and let's check this out here. So hold on one second. Let me get this going here. If I know what I'm doing, which normally I don't. Let's see here. Okay, hold on. I'm doing well tonight. I queued up our first clip pretty well.
You this started working on it at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
That's enough. enough from the immigrants. All right, here we go. Dennis Stamp.
I'm the only wrestler who lived in Amarillo. The other one was unfortunately not as successful. Dennis Stamp had over 800 matches, none of them main events. Now an exterminator, he was the self-proclaimed king of the cockroaches.
Are you coming to the show Thursday night?
No, I won't be. I'm not booked. And what really bothers me is Dory Funk Jr. I have nothing against the man he's wrestling, but I could swear to you, I could guarantee to you that no one could have a better match with Dory than I would have. So that part hurts. So, but I really wanted to be on as a referee, but the people who make the decision, whoever that would be, didn't offer me any position. So I'm not booked. I won't be here. I don't do any tricks, but I just jump. I stay fit. I watch what I eat because I never know when my next match is going to be. You know, I had my last match, I think it was 1991. So it gets to be a lot longer between matches. But I never know when I'm going to have my next match. So I've got to stay in shape for that. I've got to be ready. You know, I'm only 50 now and the phone could ring at any time, you know.
How's everything going?
I'm not going to be here, but...
Why aren't you?
Because I'm not booked.
You're not going to be here. Why aren't you going to be here? Please be here.
I'm not going to be here, Terry, because I'm not booked. That's an old rule. That's an old rule I've had for a long time. Because I'm not involved.
I want you to come, please.
Well,
I'm asking you to please come. All right.
I already have other arrangements, and don't take it personally, because I used to be in the dressing room and I used to see the old guys. And that's where I am now. I used to see the old guys that came in the dressing room that come around, and they looked like old dogs just hoping somebody would recognize them. Here, Spot.
We want you to come and see us.
I really have to be involved, and I'm not.
I want you to be there.
You know, and I did ask you in April if I could referee some matches on the card, which would have been. Which would have been. But I'm not on the card. I'm not booked.
You want to referee me and Brett? Referee me and Brett.
I already have other arrangements made, Terry.
I want you to referee me and Brett.
I'm just. I guess. Okay. So what happened? I guess you just didn't hear me or something when I asked you before.
I don't.
I didn't even know about it.
But I want you to. I want you to.
I appreciate that.
Okay. I want you. Okay. Will you please do it?
Appreciate
that. It's my last match. It's my last match. Tell me if you can. I would love it.
Okay.
I'd love to have you there.
I appreciate that, Terry.
I want you to be there.
I appreciate that.
It trips. Oh, watch out.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Okay, it's cost me $134 to change my ticket. Will I make that much?
Well, I was going to pay you.
Close.
I was going to pay you 50.
I'll get half of it back, right?
I was going to pay you 50.
You think you're going to double pay me? Do you really want to do it? I almost broke out. It's the main event. It's the main event. You think I'm not going to be in a main event?
Thank you, man.
I'd rather be in the main event than breathe.
So, rather be in the main event than breathe. At the end of the day, it's in people's blood. That's what they love. That's what they know. I mean, they've been doing it for, gosh, you know, decades upon decades, and it's a big thing. And you guys have known Terry. He seems like he was extremely genuine.
Yeah, but I also feel like he was painted into a corner a little bit. I think that if maybe the cameras weren't on, it may have been a different story.
Yeah.
But you know, Terry was a very, very nice guy, and would do something like that for someone. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but I just kind of got the feeling that he was painted in the corner because the cameras were on.
Yeah, that probably didn't help the situation.
He was hemmed up for sure on that. He didn't. He had to do something.
Nick, let me ask you a question.
Oh, he can't have a match, so let him referee.
Wow, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Nick, let me ask you a question. Let's say down the road you have an itch to referee a match, and would you go up to any talent and say, hey, you know, really like to ref your match? Would you ever approach them the way Dennis Stamp did, or?
Probably not. I usually don't even, you know, I usually most of the 9 times out of 10 the shows that I'm on, like, it's usually the head ref that usually does all the assignments, unless the promoter already did them beforehand or something like that. I'm like, unless somebody actually walks up to me, that's usually how I look at it. You know, I'm not going to walk up to somebody else, you know, take somebody else's spot, you know, that they earned, or, you know, where they were requested for, or something like that. So, you know, other referees will be, you know, work, you know, elsewhere, you know, and ask otherwise, you know, because, you know, some referees are just dicks like that. Oh, I'm only doing that match. No, okay, whatever.
Jim, let me throw this one out to you. It's very interesting that you're wearing the Mick Foley clothes and you're going to be seeing Mick in a few weeks. You might want to talk to the old Mixer, because did you hear the news that's coming out about the Mixer?
I have, but I don't want to have to, you know, fight Mick for the spot. He's the king of the deathmatch referees.
That's right. Whoa, that's interesting. You got a legend and a king of the deathmatch, Mick Foley. It's between the two of you. Would you take that match, by the way, Nick?
There's actually stuff already in the works with that, actually. Right? Trust me. There's already, like, Matt Tremont actually already has, if you watch some of the latest H2O shows, He actually has a shirt. I think it's a 6725, which is I believe is Mick's 60th birthday next year, and that's where he wants to drop his 100 pounds, you know, and stuff like that. And actually, want to do one crazy death match, you know. And actually, it's little known fact. I'm like, Mick and Tremont have actually already crossed paths already. And Mick actually requested to talk to Matt at the ICW No Holds Barred show, I think up in beautiful Newark, New Jersey, on there. So yeah, they've already crossed paths like that. I don't know what's going on with it. I'm like, there's no discussion with match or, you know, match or anything like that yet, but you know, the call-outs have started, so to speak, on there. So
Mick wants to drop 100 pounds. Yeah. By that date, and then have one more last hurrah.
One win, one last death match. Yep. Don't know who.
Let me ask you this question, Jim. Mick, and we're prognosticators at this point. You think Mick Foley's final match would be better than what Ric Flair's final match was?
Yeah. Yeah, I think... This is just my personal opinion. I just think Flair didn't want to put out the effort or knew that he couldn't. Mick's crazy, and he'll put out the effort whether he thinks he can do it or not. He'll go for it. I hate to see what he's going to go for. But he's willing to try it.
Wow. Would you both assume a match, something like that? I mean, that's going to draw big business, I mean, wherever it's going to be. But thinking about who could be a good opponent, because we were talking about Sting, and Sting's going to have his last match, and we talked about this in segment one, but Kevin Nash is not allowed to be a part of going to see it. WWE has said no to that. Do you think a lot of people would show up for Mick's final match, in your opinion? Do you think a bunch of ECW people or just people who, you know, have crossed paths with Mick would be there?
Oh, sure. I think you're going to see ECW, WWE, Japan, WCW, Independence. You're going to see everybody in every part of the world of wrestling. I wouldn't be surprised if someone, you know, plans a convention around it.
Be a smart move. There'd be a lot of people in town for it. Why not?
Sure.
Make an all-day convention.
I have not seen Mick or heard Mick speak in a while, but I did hear a while back. It was slow going for him to get around, and not because of weight, but just because of his body. I mean, we all know his body's been through so much. At 60, I mean, are we now crossing the threshold to we may be doing even extensive damage to our well-being, or is it at this point he says, what the hell? I mean, is he one of those guys, would you both say, is like Ric Flair, where, heaven forbid, if he died in the ring, he'd be okay with that? We'll go to Nick first. Nick, what's your – when you talk to, you know, a lot of hardcore wrestlers, deathmatch wrestlers – I would assume that would almost be a badge of honor in some way. Am I crazy when I say that, or?
No, I wouldn't really think you're crazy in that aspect or anything like that. I'm like, you know, I'm almost trying to watch an Onita match nowadays. You know, watching FMW Onita match right now. I think he's 60 plus. You know, and he's still doing explosives, you know, and stuff like that. He's still doing exploding bats and pits of death and all that stuff over there. So he's the only thing is he's actually involved in like tags and like 6-man tags and stuff like that. So he's protected, you know. Obviously, this will be a little different. It might be a 1-on-1, but I'm like, I wouldn't see Mick doing like, you know, it's going to be like a Young Bucks type match where it's, you know, a false finish after a false finish, you know, anything like that. So I'm like, I don't know what the hell kind of match he would like to have. I don't know if it'd be like the modern day death matches that you see
nowadays. A no bump death match.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, how many bumps can he go with? I mean,
There was an old thing of like we were doing a tournament of death for CCW back in the day. I think this has gone back like 6-7 years ago. Drew Gulak, which you know you see in NXT right now, he was doing like a campaign for a better combat zone, you know, gimmick, where it's like he was an anti-hardcore guy. So going to the deathmatch tournament, they were actually planning on for him to win the deathmatch tournament without taking a bump or bleeding.
Nuclear heat right there.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it didn't happen, unfortunately, but, you know. But, yeah, it was – I share that story every now and then, and we actually laugh about it now. It's just like, can you just imagine the deathmatch community back then? It would be just nuke after nuke.
There was a match back in ECW with Lance Storm and Jerry Lynn. And I can do this match in only 3 bumps.
Oh,
you know, and they put on probably the best match of the night.
Is that a ripoff of I Can Name This Tune in 4?
Exactly.
Yep. Wow. Butster, let me ask you this. I mean, you and I, we're not in the business. We're fans. Who would you like to see would be entertaining, I should say, for Mick Foley's last match if it was to be this brutal, I don't know if I could even use the word bloodbath at this point, but I mean, it may get to that point. Who would you like to see in there mixing it up with him? A young guy, or would you like to see two old grizzly vets going at it?
I'd like to see two old grizzly vets, but unfortunately, old grizzly vets are old. And they don't get around as well, and they couldn't do it. It would be better with the younger talent who could do the bulk of the work, the lion's share of the work. Mox, I guess. I mean, no, he would do some pretty messed up stuff. And he's a big enough name, obviously, that he'll draw some more attention. Unfortunately, I'm not real up on a lot of the deathmatch guys. Like, I mean, I don't know. I remember watching Madman Pondo. Pretty sure that's not going to go over well these days.
Who's the fat guy in the diaper who's over in Japan?
Oh.
Who? What?
What's his name? He's Freeland? Always cut up. That's terrible. That's terrible, you son of a bitch. God, that's a good one. Damn you. He's Japanese. He does a lot of light tube stuff.
Well, now is it down to about a couple hundred thousand.
Right.
Hold on. Yeah, we're getting there.
Hold on.
He does barbed wire.
He bleeds.
And bleed. Oh, shit.
No, you know who I'm talking about, right, Nick? You know
number hasn't changed yet.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it here. But hold on. Also, by the way, what do you think
diaper
about
wrestler.
One?
That's going to get you some Google replies.
That's going to get you the FBI showing up at your house.
This is
here
true.
Here come the black helicopters.
Oh God, not with school teacher. So okay, what about what? Okay, I'm being legitimately serious. What about Abdullah?
No.
Is it Abdul Kobayashi?
No, Abdullah the Butcher, the fourth.
Absolutely not.
No. I don't think he can.
Butcher's in a wheelchair.
I don't think he can move.
No, the last match I did with Abdul the Butcher was for the Blue Meanie against Bam Bam Bigelow, and the match never got into the ring because Abdul could not get into the ring.
And you can't have a match involving blood with Abby. That's not. Hannibal. That won't go well.
How about Kevin Sullivan? It wouldn't be a death match, but it would be a hardcore match.
That's a good call. I like that.
If you're looking for a veteran.
Can he still wrestle, though? I haven't seen Kevin Sullivan in forever.
No worse than Mick, probably.
Okay, I found the diaper guy.
God.
I found them. Now, I'm relying on...
This conversation went down the wrong road.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm relying on you guys to be
able to... This rabbit hole never gets set on fire.
Hold on. I'm going to rely on you guys to be able to tell me who the diaper guy is. Because you guys are... You guys know this stuff.
Do you think my Japanese is better than yours?
Yeah. This is just not going to go well.
No, yeah, it is. Hey, think positive here. Here we go. Let's see. Share screen.
Oh, gosh. I should have been good.
Here we go.
He's going across international lines, too.
All right, here he is. Here he is. Stop it.
I need another
here he is. Look. There's which the guy one? In the diaper.
I have absolutely no idea who that is. Like, obviously, I can't see his face. He's covered by glass. Yeah.
Good job, Mike. Right. Good job.
That's him right there.
That looks like Abdul Kobayashi. He's actually been around here a while, a bunch of times.
Yeah, yeah he's wearing the. I got those same jockey shorts. But when you
sure you do,
I got those pajama pants. But then all of a sudden, he just decides, screw pants. I'm gonna wear a diaper.
Mike's got that outfit too.
Is that the suit? Oh God. Is that a sumo type pants?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's sumo pants.
Is it sumo pants, I guess?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I called it a diaper. What did you say his name is?
It's Abdullah Kobayashi.
Abdullah Kobayashi, okay.
Yeah, like Kobayashi, like the hot dog eating guy. if you remember that.
Yeah.
Remember from the old Nathan's hot dog eating contest?
I'm going to look this guy up. Abdullah, how you spelled it? A-B...
D-U-L-L-A-H
Kobayashi.
Well, yeah, he's a nutcase.
If he's available, I think they should look him up, right?
He still wrestles. Yeah, he actually wrestled. I think he was actually over in England this past weekend.
But wouldn't you get a bigger drop? England,
UK. Yeah, he goes all over the place. He comes to America every now and then, too.
But when you get a bigger draw with a more well-known North American talent?
If you're going to do it here, yes. If you're going to do it in Japan.
Well, yeah, of course.
So you bring out Onita.
Well, if you do it in Japan, you bring out Onita, my God.
Yeah.
If they had it at the Super Tokyo Arena, it'd be like
shut up,
81
shut up,
stars and it, no, 72,000 people.
Stop trying to.
Well, Meltzer would love that stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he would only give it 2 stars because the Bucks aren't in it.
That's a good point. Or Omega.
Or Kenny Omega, yeah.
I like Dave. I like Kenny. I like the Bucks. How about I just lay down, I get pissed on here. How about that?
Some people pay good money for that.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to show you a picture of this. Hold it. Diaper guy. What's his name?
Abdullah Kobayashi.
Kobayashi, yeah. Okay, God. At the end of the day, you're going to tell me. You think this guy's playing with a fullback? Holy shit. Let me show you this picture, kids. This ain't something you're going to be able to not see after you see it. Hey everybody! Hey, mom and dad! I want to go watch some wrestling, and you go and you see that.
That's beautiful.
Okay,
that blowfish.
Yeah,
I have no idea what the hell that is on his head, but I mean, tits out, diaper on. He just looks like he's not really quite sure where he's at.
Looks like he's ready to do a movie with Pinhead.
Oh. Hey, at least Kevin Hart's got new material.
Oh God!
Brand new. Get your tickets now.
You charge Kevin Hart for that advertising.
Yeah. Shit.
He's got the Robert Gibson eye. You see that?
You should actually put a Abdul Kobayashi and a Kenzon in the same sentence and see what you get. That video is fun to watch. You would cringe.
We're gonna do a watch along one day, and we're gonna do a watch along about. I don't know if it's FMW, but you guys probably realize what it is. It's a death match, but there is a boat involved.
Oh, that's the old one. Yeah. Is it the electrified pool?
I think it may be. I think Mike Awesome's in it as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now, that's that was entertaining.
Yeah.
they had to take a boat to the ring. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think it was like 94, 95 that match happened. Something around there.
Well, there was a match promoted by Dennis Carluzzo here in New Jersey, not too a long time ago, but not too far away from me, Nick, at Cooper River.
Oh, okay.
On the Pensacon side of the mm-hmm. river, and it was Terry Funk against Stan Hansen, and they ended up in the river.
Oh. Beautiful.
Look it up. It's online. You can find.
That's when it was a nice neighborhood.
Yeah, and that was before they dredged it out to try to clean the water. This is the kind of place where you go fishing with a net, right? You just skim them right off the top.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Glad I live in the north. We can fish out of
better chance of catching bodies than you do fish.
Oh, yeah. plus your water up there is frozen anyway, so.
Well, it's a little bit
for a couple more months.
Yeah, at least for a month or two.
Hey, it's probably like 6 degrees tomorrow. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's saying 6 degrees Celsius, right? You guys measure like, weird shit. You don't say.
I'm I don't know what that.
Oh, you mean like the rest Fahrenheit? Of the world except for you guys? Yeah, everybody else is fucked. That would be like about 42.
That's what it was today down here.
That's not bad.
Oh, well, that's warm for here. It's February.
Jim, so guys, keep thinking about who you think. I mean, we have plenty of time, but who would be a good match for Mixter? Some people actually thrown out Matt Cardona. Do you think Matt Cardona would be somebody who's... He's recently made his name out there on the indies as being mm-hmm. kind of a guy who's willing to do...
Yeah, if you're looking for somewhat of a veteran name, and someone who can still do a quality match and as Nick had said before, carry part of the load or the majority of the load, he's a good one to think of. You can also wait and see who else may be let go between now and then. There could be, you know, a number of guys let go. You know, after WrestleMania, it's you know, release time.
Mm-hmm. What so would there, you say
could be anybody on you know current roster?
What would you say if Flair took him up one more time? Woo!
I wouldn't even bother watching it.
No, that would be just bad.
Let's move on to a new topic, and this new topic is going to be, and I'm going to start off with Jim on this one. Jim, is there such thing as tribalism in wrestling? We keep hearing this word get thrown around. Is there such thing as tribalism? And if so, is it created by the companies or is it created by the fans?
It's more like contractualism. if you want to look at it that way, it's created by the companies, then it's contractualism. It is created by the fans, then it's on the fans. ECW was definitely created by the fan. The tribalism, if you want to call it that, of ECW was definitely created by the fans. We could have brought, you know, anybody could have come in and they would have accepted them. But if anybody left, oh, you're screwing us.
Right.
Even though they're going to make better money, you know, a lot better money. Yeah.
Let me throw this out to you, Nick. Tribalism, what's your thoughts? I mean, on the independent circuit, I mean, I know if you're a wrestling fan, my opinion is if you're a wrestling fan, you like all forms of wrestling. You'll take anything in. Do you find that there's certain people, company to company, that just literally will only go to one company?
Oh, of course. There's fans like that all the time. I'm like, you see it now. I'll use H2O for example. I'm like, you know, we have our regulars that are there month in and month out, even if we have two shows or three shows a month. You know, we have our diehards, but I'm like, you know, God forbid if we don't have a death match on a show, you don't see certain fans. You know, it's just like that, even with, you know, other indie companies. I'm like, you know, if they don't have such and such talent on their show, well, we're not going to go. You know, it's like, but you know, I always love using the deathmatch guys as, you know, as an example, because it's so easy. I'm like, you know, God forbid, I'm like, you know, these guys aren't, destroying their bodies on this one certain match, you know, God forbid. You know, I'm not coming back then unless they're, you know, beating each other with light tubes or something like that. I'm like, well, that's not the show we have this month. You know, it's just like that every indie company you go to nowadays. It's just like, there's certain fans that will only go to GCW. There's only certain fans that will go to ICW, No Holds Barred, you know, which is, you know, similar to GCW and stuff like that, but just all death matches. You know, it is what it is. I'm like, the fan, you know, the fans that, you know, I look at it like this. I'm like, the fans are spoiled, you know, like, and especially around here, if fans are spoiled. I'm like, well, it's almost look like, you know, use the WWE, for example. I'm like, they wanted to give you Roman and Rock. You know, fans wanted Roman Rock. Well, they're going to give it to you. Oh, no, we want Cody involved instead. It's just like, you can't have it both ways. I'm like, you're eventually probably get Roman Rock next year, most likely. But, you know, so I don't know. It's just, it's hard to even explain sometimes, really.
Butster, do you find yourself caught up in any form of tribalism? I mean, I know you like all different genres, but I mean, do you find that your preference is over one over the other? And if so, are there reasons why?
I mean, I'm more partial to AEW.
Sorry.
But shut up, Nick. Why do we bring him back every week?
He does not like AEW.
I'll fall asleep next week, then. I won't. Don't message me.
Well, so it would be like every other week, except for this one. No, but I mean, I'm more AEW. However, yes. Now with that said, I'll watch WWE. I'll watch Impact. I'll watch MLW. I'm a wrestling fan. One of the problems we have is a lot of jackasses. They're AEW, just for an example. And no matter what WWE does, it's wrong, it's stupid, they're garbage, fuck WWE. And then you have a lot of WWE fans are the exact same. No, everything they do is fantastic, AEW is garbage, Tony Khan is an idiot, no, they can't book nothing, it's spot fest, da-da-da. And it doesn't need to be like that. It's okay to have a favorite. Nothing wrong with that. You can have a favorite. That doesn't mean you have to hate the other one. Don't be a knucklehead. That's just not how it works. It doesn't need to be like that in anything. Like take Jim and I, for example. Jim likes hockey, same as myself. He likes the Flyers. I like the Leafs. I'm not going to say anything the Flyers do is bullshit. They're idiots. No, fuck the Flyers. They're all dummies. Da da da. Toronto's the way to go. If anything other than Toronto Maple Leafs is wrong, I'm fairly sure Jim would feel much the same way. But you're going to be partial. Of course you are. If Toronto and Philly are playing tonight, yeah, I'm going to cheer for my team. Jim's going to cheer for his team. There's nothing wrong with that. But that doesn't mean you have to hate the others. That doesn't mean you have to constantly cut them up and try to tear them down. Just be a miserable douchebag.
Unless they're the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, all right, fair. I'll give you that one. All right. That's fair. We can both agree on that one. Right? And the Senators. Right? But you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to be. You can have your favorite, but it's not just because your favorite. Once again, we for me, for example, I like AEW. I don't think everything WWE does is wrong. I don't think they're idiots. I don't think, no matter what, it's bullshit. No. WWE does a ton of stuff way better than AEW. That's a fact. I think AEW does stuff better than WWE. To me, I'm more entertained with AEW's wrestling. That's just me. Doesn't mean one's way better. Just personally, for me, one's better, but I don't need to hate the other one. Sorry for the long-winded answer.
No, you're fine. So the reason why I bring this up, it kind of dovetails into our next topic here. Just hate is kind of the word here. So this just kind of came across the wire. Let me read this to you real quick. It says AEW takes many risks, from Nick Gage wrestling a death match on TNT to Hangman Adam Page drinking Swerve Strickland's blood on a recent pay-per-view. There's a certain edge to AEW programming that former WCW president Eric Bischoff is not happy with. On the latest edition of his Strictly Business podcast, Bischoff points out the shocking departure of Scott D'Amore and TNA as an example. I'm going to read you guys this quote, and then I want you guys to respond to this. This is Bischoff. Right now, AEW is proving to be bad for the wrestling industry, in particular being bad for TNA and people like Scott D'Amore. Bischoff would continue to say, feeling that AEW is making it hard to sell pro wrestling to other networks. Now, the Hall of Famer claims AEW uses praise from Dave Meltzer, bogus validations from other websites that seemingly don't make any sense at all. Bischoff stated that outside investors will see Tony Khan's struggles and doubt someone also now like Scott D'Amore, and they'll be lumped together in the same category. All right, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to throw it to Jim first. Is there any merit in any of what he is saying? And if so, what would you agree with? And what would you say I'm going to pass on?
I don't know. I think if you asked Eric Bischoff, and I'll even say other executives, you know, unfortunately Bischoff spoke up, so we'll use him as the example. The wrestling that's going on now stinks. The wrestling that went on before he took over WCW stunk too. I'm sure that, you know, those in the WWE Attitude Era say, well, what came before us stunk, and when they got rid of the Attitude Era, that stinks what's going on now. So I just think that's, you know, look at my time in the business, and we were the best at what we did then. I think that's kind of where that's just the impression I'm getting from his statement.
So basically, in the way I
interpret, and not necessarily meaning what he did, but that time period,
that era,
right?
I think the way I looked at it was he was basically saying, you know what, AEW is doing things that is making wrestling look bad. Therefore, anyone else who's trying to get a network deal or a TV deal is going to get lumped into that same wrestling's bad kind of category. So, kind of a guilty by association. Nick, what's your take on that? Do you feel like I know you're not pro AEW, but do you think AEW, the way they conduct business, is hurting wrestling or hurting companies that are trying to get TV deals when a lot of eyes see what AEW does?
You know, I don't think it's hurting them. I'm like, yeah, I may not be a, you know, AEW fan or anything like that. And I'm like, I got a lot of friends that work there and stuff like that. But, you know, it's like, you know, not necessarily like AEW isn't a bad thing. I'm like, you know, you need places for people to work. I'm like, there's fans out there that actually like, well, I, you know, look at their ratings and this and that. I'm like, you know, they're just going to go out of business. I'm like, first of all, A, they're never going to go out of business because they're backed by a multi-billionaire, you know, first of all. So, you know, that's never going to happen, you know, God forbid. The only thing that would ever happen to them was their TV deal might be their plug pulled. That's about it. But they'll find a way back on TV one way or the other. But you need places to work. You know, everybody needs place to work. You know, we need, you know, the indie people need, you know, WWE. They need AEW. They need Impact. You know, TNA, whatever you call them now. You know, they need MLW. They need New Japan. I'm like, we need all these places to stay open. you know, it's we need work. We need places to fall back on. You know, so if, you know, God forbid, people that are wishing, I'm like, oh, AEW is just going to go out of business. I'm like, well, then where's all that talent going to go? You know, where's that talent going to, you know, find work? Most of them probably would just go back to the indies and call it a day, you know, and that. But I don't see them as a bad thing by any means.
Butster, it seems like, and maybe this is just me, but Eric seems to really, really get the digs in when it comes to AEW. Do you feel like that's warranted? Do you feel like justified, or do you feel like that's just a little going a little too far?
I think it's a little bit of sour grapes. I think he did some messed up stuff with WCW too. He did some messed up stuff with WWE. Yeah, it was WWE then.
Hot, you remember, in action.
That's exactly HLA. What I was going to bring up. You know, spin the wheel, make the deal, whatever the hell it was, it comes up HLA. Like, really? That's. Hey, I enjoyed the shit out of it, don't get me wrong. But that it would not be deemed as good or appropriate or anything else. We would never see it today. And like, did that help the industry? No, did that, you know, make it more accepted? Like, you know, they were doing like the bra and panty matches and all that stuff. Once again, I didn't have a big issue with it. But in mainstream society, it never made you more respected. They were doing some stuff back then, too. So I think it's just sour grapes is a lot of it. No, maybe he's a little biased to WWE. I mean, he's on a Legends contract, I believe, as well. So, I mean, he's not going to come out and say, oh, yeah, AEW is doing good here. This is good or that's good. He's got to stay loyal to... No, to his paycheck. I think a little bit of it's just a little bit of sour grapes. He's a bit of a moron. Like some of the stuff he says, he's like, you're a dumbass.
I think some of it might be that AEW is the victim of his hatred, if you want to say. I think him and Meltzer have had problems before, and I think AEW is you know, if he targets AEW, you know he's going to get something out of Meltzer.
Was he not on AEW?
Yeah, he was.
So if you got that much of an issue, how come he took the paycheck?
What was there once?
I want to say he was there once, and it was during a when they were building up the match between Orange Cassidy and Chris Jericho. They did kind of a debate type of deal where Orange came off just sounding like he was a Jeopardy champion and. You know, he answered all these questions, but it was a one-off appearance. But I just don't get where, and I know it's a show, and you have to have topics for a show, right? When you're under contract, you got to have something to talk about. But I feel like sometimes it gets a bit far. He could probably use his knowledge speaking about what he accomplished and how things could be improved instead of just, you know, beating his own drum. But I know he doesn't like Dave, and I also think Dave doesn't make things easy on himself either. You know, but hey.
No, Meltzer definitely brings stuff upon himself, but Bischoff just goes too far sometimes. Like some stuff he says, accurate. But with him, it almost seems like no matter what AEW does is wrong. It's stupid. It's setting the industry back, so on and so forth. It's just a bunch of phooey.
All right, switching gears here. I want to ask the referees this question. So we often see in companies where there is a special guest referee and they bring a celebrity in or they bring somebody in. Let's say on the indies, it's a guy who's, you know, sponsored a match or sponsored something and wants to come in and be involved. Have you guys ever A, had a situation like that, and B, it's not that easy to explain what's going on in the match and what to do to just a Joe Blow, I would assume. So have you guys ever had a situation like that where somebody's going to come in? We'll start off with Jim here.
Not where like a sponsor or, you know, some, you know, the high school coach has been the referee for the local indie show. I haven't come across that yet. Had a lot of in ECW, had a few times where we had guest referees, and it was usually someone that was involved with the storyline at one point or another. You might have Mikey Whipwreck as a guest referee for a title match when Mikey's kind of buzzing around the scene for a title match. We had Tammy. We had Dawn be guest referees for matches. I've been in those situations, but, you know, the mayor of the town, no.
So would Paul pull you aside and say, hey, we're going to have you know, a wrestler become or be the ref for this? How would you sit down with them and say,
no,
you got to know time cues, you got to know all this stuff, or do you just dumb it down?
No, just, you know, if they asked me, I'd come and help them. If they didn't, you know, then I'm assuming because they've gone through a wrestling school and gone through training, they know what they're doing. As far as Paul letting us know, we'd find out on the TV the week before, probably more often than nothing.
Wow.
And Mike Freeland went to the Paul Heyman School of Planning and Programming.
Thank you so much.
No, because I got the information by 6 o'clock, maybe 7 o'clock today.
I got it at,
and it was great seeing you both here. Take care. We'll catch you guys after WrestleMania. Nick, let me throw it to you, buddy.
7:59.
And Paul, you're gone again.
Paul would have stuff, you know, we'd find out the first match, and then the rest of the show we'd put together while the first match is in the ring.
That's got to be a ride, though, when he's literally doing it by the seat of his pants.
And when you're coming from, if you were there in the Eddie Gilbert days, Eddie Gilbert would have 3 weeks of TV on a piece of paper and come in and hang it on the door, and that was it. That was what was going on.
Wow. But life would be easier that way, wouldn't it?
No, would absolutely. You like it? I was going to say, would you prefer that, though, knowing oh, sure. 3 weeks? Yeah. Nick, have you ever had to have a special guest referee? They're bringing somebody in, and it's maybe not a wrestler. So, as Jim mentioned, they didn't go to wrestling school. Let's say it was me, and all of a sudden I'm supplying. Oh God, I'm donating a bunch of money to the event, right? And I say, hey man, I'm not booked. Shut up. Be more than that. At least 10. And I said, I'm not booked. You know, I'm not going to be on the card. And you say, no, we want you to.
I want you to be there.
I want you to be there. Ref me in the butt.
It's my last match. Ref you in the what?
Ref me in the butt. No, I don't mean, you know, you and I, if we're going to have a match. So with that being said, Nick, what would you say to me to get me ready to referee a match? And I don't know, Dippy Doo.
Oh, that's a problem.
What would you say to get him prepared to ref him in the butt?
you better bring a ref shirt or something like that. I'm not supplying that, that's for sure.
That's fine. Bring a ref shirt. I got a ref shirt.
Yeah, it's almost like really hard to explain. I'm like, if it's, you know, somebody doesn't have any kind of training, I'm like, best thing for them, you know, for you to actually say to them is like, stay the hell out of the way. You know, that's about it. I'm like, you know, a lot of the guys aren't going to do. They're not going to do, like, you know, false finish central over here or anything like that, where you're going to pull a count. You know, you're literally probably going to count one fall, and it's going to be like the finish. You know, that's about it. You know, they're going to make it basic, you know, unless they want to rib you or something like that. And, you know, do it like a Young Bucks match and do, like, you know, 5 head drops into a super kick and kick out at one, you know, something like that. You know, I've worked with the Young Bucks enough, so I can say that to back home.
One thing you also have to think about is how much does the promoter want to pull back the curtain?
Yeah, well, that too.
Let this, you know, civilian come in and basically and know what to do and know what to do and know what's going on.
That makes sense. But if I were to ref a match, I would want to. I want to do the whole kick the hands off the rope. You know, I want to do the
insurance.
No.
Insurance.
I'm not put. If I'm the promoter and you're the guy who's giving me a ton of money, I'm still not putting you over the referees that I rely on every week or every show or every month or whatever to come in.
And I get that completely. I'm just saying I'm all you've got. I mean, you know. Would you let me do some cool shit in there? You know, like
I'd let one of the guys clothesline you.
My shit,
I sponsor that show.
And let you know, one of my referees come in and count the ones.
And count the finish. I wouldn't even let the match even get in the ring. You'd just be in the ring just like dumbfounded. It'd just be a no contest. It'd just be a brawl around the whole building. It's like the Tupelo Massacre, whatever the hell it was back in the day. That's all it is.
Actually, if you were the guest, I'd use you as a as a wrestler in a battle royal. And when the bell rang, everybody turned and looked at you to see what happened then.
At least he didn't say he was going to mass transit you.
I would okay, so I'll stay out of that. I could be the special enforcer, right? Don't they sometimes have the special enforcer on the outside?
You're going to enforce Mike a midget match?
You can't say midget anymore. You could be handcuffed to Jim Cornette on the outside.
That'd be hilarious.
I have so many I've had so many conversations with that man over the years, and he
is that Outlaw Mud Show somewhere.
Oh yes, he's wound.
Apparently, that's all I ref on anyway. So,
it looks like I'm not going to get a chance to be a. What happens if I slide in the ring, and then all of a sudden somebody just takes me out? Like, you know what I mean? I just.
You probably took yourself out with a ruptured Achilles doing that.
Sorry, brother.
Hung himself with the rope.
We'll get you next time, brother.
Look out for the elbow.
Wow.
A weed whacker.
The weed
whacker. Oh, God. We're
bringing it down to my level.
Jim, were you there with Mass Transit?
No comment.
Okay.
It never happened.
Can there still be legal actions?
Probably.
Move on. We'll talk about
the statute of limitations.
I was going to say we will let sleeping dogs lie. But I was just kind of curious. I mean, if I could go in there and be like, you know, do something. I would love to do something. I'll take somebody's finisher. I mean, but
okay. Let's figure out one to give them.
I asked Mikey one time.
Take the Steiner's finisher.
The bulldog from the top?
Yeah. Give him the electric chair.
Oh.
No, the eliminators.
Okay. Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big no.
God. If that's not timed perfectly, that's going to suck.
Mikey Whipwreck was telling me that we were talking on the phone and he was telling me different things. I said, "Man, you took those Mike Awesome throwing power bombs over the top rope into a table." He said, "Oh, Mike took care of me." He goes, "That wasn't a problem at all." And I'm like, "Maybe it's just professionals make it look really damn good." But I mean, let's just say that was
Mike almost broke my neck on a pay-per-view.
What did Mike do?
My body's doing a power slam.
Oh, shit. Maybe I shouldn't praise Mike Awesome at this point.
Well, no matter how professional whoever would be, gravity still says, this is going to hurt. If you're, whatever, I don't care if you're a little guy, 150 pounds, if you still get thrown into the air, you have to come down.
Right. Look at.
And that's going to suck.
Look at Mikey Whipwreck getting slammed by Ron Simmons. You know.
Oh, drop pie.
Drop pie. Yeah. Oof.
That was bad.
Oh, good God.
Mikey still has nightmares about that one.
I bet he does.
Oh my God.
I have them, and I was in the building.
Wow. Wow.
It's true though. I mean, you know, gravity still. I don't care if you're getting thrown into the air. No matter what, you had to come down.
Yeah. Well, once you know three matches over, gravity wins.
Yeah. This is true. But let me ask you this. What would be, all kidding aside, what would be the finisher that you wouldn't take no matter what from anyone? We'll start off with the butt. But what maneuver are you not taking?
It's the eliminator. It's the first thing that pops into my mind. I'm not taking that.
Yeah, that the final elimination?
There's no
total chance. Elimination, one of the two.
Nope. I'll pass on it.
Nick, what are you not taking?
Oh God, Jesus Christ! I can't, where do we start? I don't even know where to even begin with something like this. Okay,
don't count anything with weapons.
Oh yeah, weapons don't count.
No, it's just a maneuver.
Yeah. At least I got to figure out on the indies or anything like that. I'm like, oh, God. Fuck, I can't even think of one off the top of my head that's actually It's not really reckless or anything like that. I'm like, God, like, I'd almost say like any type of like power bomb almost, you know, because depending on who was giving it to, like almost like a Vader bomb, you know, not the one he does in the corner, the other one, just the regular Vader power bomb. Yeah, I ain't taking that because I know you've seen him do some of that stuff in Japan. I'm like, he's reckless as could be with that.
What about the clothesline from hell, JBL? Nope. Was that as vicious as it looked?
Oh yeah, I've seen people on the indies try to, you know, they try to imitate it, and I see them, you know, the one thing you got to do with the lariat, I'm like, is don't have your face down like this or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I've seen people do it like that, call it in the clothesline, boom, broken nose, and they're knocked out. Had that happen to a match in like 2009. Somebody did that and they got knocked out. I'm like, yep, throw up the X. This match is over.
Goodness. Jim, which one are you not taking without a shadow of a doubt? Is there one that stands out that you would say, yeah, that's not going to work for me, brother?
Well, since the Eliminators was already taken, I'm going to say the Lariat, but from Stan Hansen.
Yeah,
the guy can't see 2 feet in front of him. He's going to take your head off no matter what.
Story. Wow.
Well, the stories are he was stiff because he couldn't see.
Exactly.
Right. So
I was not aware that the man was basically blind.
I mean, his glasses are 2 inches thick, Mike.
He still looks fantastic, though. I mean,
he
he looks awesome.
But man, he was a big man when he was wrestling. No, that would suck.
So wait a minute. We're talking about JBL, and we're throwing Stan Hansen in these categories for clotheslines. But I think we're really missing Bruiser Brody's clothesline. If you've ever seen when he would throw one, holy God! I mean, your trachea would be in your anus. I mean, it's just terrible.
Yeah, but I never heard anybody complain about Brody. I think he took care of the guys.
You see the Luger video?
What about Quiñones? I believe that's what his name was. He beat him till his head was a pumpkin.
Well, he probably deserved that. Same with Luger. Luger didn't know any better. Luger was put in a bad situation.
Yes. Yeah. Just left the ring. Fuck it. I'm going. I'm not putting up with this tonight.
So the final elimination, you say any version of a power bomb. Jim, you said you're going with what?
Stan Hansen's clothesline.
Stan Hansen's clothesline. Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
What about some like a 5-star frog splash?
Yeah. Most of those guys usually will protect you to a certain extent. I would hope.
I would say the electric chair only because I probably wouldn't be able to take it properly. I'm sure I'd land the wrong way. It'd land right on my cranium.
What the hell is the? I've watched wrestling for with the electric chair.
Basically, what LOD did with their Doomsday device.
Oh, you know, the Doomsday device.
Sometimes okay. Hulk would let you flip. Sometimes Hulk would let you flip, or Animal had you. He would let you flip over, and then other times, he would let you just take a back bump. You know, he'd go down with you. You know, you're up on their shoulders. You know, and you just fall backwards, but you're also taking the clothes out at the same time.
Kind of weird. Let's change the question around. What finishing move would you take?
Hold his leg drop. Easy.
I think I think Moxley gave me an RKO one time. That was easy. That was nothing. Do that any day of the week.
Yeah, I don't think I'd take Hogan's leg drop. I think I'd take Bobby Eaton's leg drop.
Well, Bobby Eaton, yeah, you're about as safe can be.
I see. I don't know. That's a really difficult one.
I'd like to see Freeland take Yokozuna's splash.
Was it with the enhancement talent that got pissed him off backstage too and just dropped?
Yeah, Mike, that went well, didn't it?
Mikey said something about that story one time, and he said evidently, allegedly, we don't know, but I guess the guy was, I don't know, saying too much backstage or whatever, and
that worked out well for him.
How did he not die? How does your sternum not break? He let his entire ass, and he was at least what?
Six? He was five something at that time, maybe like 5'0". He was built at 5'05" when he first started there, I believe.
He came out of the womb at 5'05".
And he was 4 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
That just had to hurt.
How is that not cardiac arrest? I'm not kidding. How do you not stop somebody's heart from beating if you drop all that?
How does not break a rib and send it into your lung?
Collapse lung or something like that, yeah. Spew up blood like Duggan did.
Duggan, what?
Well, that was a storyline when he did that.
Oh, when he dropped the ass on him. Yeah.
Yeah, and he dropped him on him with the American flag over top of him or whatever.
Now, did they do like a split screen and there was like Duggan and his wife and it was on Raw and he was all...
No, it was great. And... Good stuff back then.
All right, first of all, you have to be athletic to take a move, too, because you have to be able to know what you're doing as well, because it's not just, from what I understand, the guy delivering it to you. But the one move, I don't know why they have it. The Poison Rana. How are you not going to snap your head?
I hate that move. I just hate it because nine times out of ten, I'm like, some people are doing it in the summertime in a sweaty building. I'm like, they're already like 15 minutes deep in a match. So I'm like, yeah, this is not going to end well.
Wow. I don't know. There's a lot. There's a lot. All right. Before we put a bow tie, Butster, what other thoughts you have running through your mind right now?
I don't know. There's a couple of things I had, but we can go through them next week. I've already had enough hanging out with Nick for tonight, so.
Yeah, you've been stuck with me for 2 hours, I know.
Before we go... Let's go ahead and let's do some plugs. Let's go to the hardcore legend himself. You are going to be busy, my friend. Sounds like March and April are coming together.
March and April's picking up. Still some available time for WrestleMania weekend. Knock wood, I'm working on a couple things, and hopefully something will get ironed out and have that for you next week. But I'm back to reffing on March the 9th for Extreme Hybrid Wrestling. It'll be in Jim Thorpe, PA. Then the following 2 weeks, the 15th, and I think it's the 22nd, without looking at my calendar, not knowing what those two Fridays are. With ISPW, the first one will be in Hackettstown, New Jersey at the high school. Mick Foley's going to be at that. As the guest commissioner for the night, and he'll be doing a meet and greet also. And then the following week will be in Totowa, the Totowa PAL. And let's see, that will finish off. No, I'm sorry, March 30th, LTW in Old Bridge, New Jersey. And then we go into Mania Weekend and Rex Fest. The 13th and Market, I'm sorry, I forget the name of the ballroom in Philadelphia. It's a show that starts at 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 7 o'clock at night with several different companies all getting a certain amount of time at the same building. But I will be working for Fighting Spirit Wrestling that night. And hopefully we'll see Maniac sometime after 7 o'clock that same night at McCusker's. Hold my calls. I will be there. And then the 7th, I think I can announce this now because we did it the other night. The 7th for SPO Wrestling, which is run by Johnny Cashmere, former Backseat Boy, will be in Burlington, New Jersey that afternoon. So it's a 2:30 show. On the Sunday of WrestleMania, so you can get home in time to see WrestleMania or even get to WrestleMania in time because it's about a half hour away from the Lincoln financial field. But they're trying to get some people, some more people to show up. They sold out last Sunday night or Sunday afternoon. I'm sorry. Trying to get some more people to come in because it's WrestleMania weekend. They will be having two matches outside in a cage. One match is a tag team scramble match, and the second one is for the SPO Women's Championship. I said both are in the cage for free outside, and then hopefully you'll be enticed to come inside for the rest of the event. That's at the Fire Hall in Burlington, New Jersey.
Nice. We have all the dates on the screen as well for Jim. Let's go ahead and let's go to Nick. Nick, what's going on with you? Any upcoming dates? What's the good word?
Yeah, finishing out February, actually, this Saturday, February 24th. It's actually with Bloodstorm Pro versus New South Wrestling over in Williamstown, New Jersey. That will be streamed live on IWTV. March 8th. H2O returns to IWTV for, I believe, I forgot how the name of the show is actually, I believe, but it's a rare Friday night show. We haven't done a Friday night show in a little bit. You know, 8 p.m. Bell, you know, same thing, you know, stream live on IWTV. There might be another Matt show or two in March. I totally forget. Mania will start, will actually start on April 1st for me, that Monday night. The Monday Night Death, which is actually just a death match show with H2O Wrestling, you know, that's streamed live on IWTV, you know, 8 o'clock bell. Tuesday night would be Hustle Cup, which is actually kind of like a junior heavyweight tournament that we have. That's also streamed live on IWTV, you know, 8 o'clock bell time. And then Wednesday night, which will be Intergender Bonanza on there, which also streamed live on IWTV. You know, everything's all in Williamstown, New Jersey. I'm not traveling too far yet, you know, unless, you know, we get a – I'm starting to iron out some stuff with the collective and stuff like that for Thursday and Friday, since that's all over Philly, you know, and all that stuff. So that's a bunch of multiple shows. Oh, my God, I'm trying to do multiple shows since there's literally shows that start at, what, 10 a.m., I think, yeah. Almost on there, and then literally go – straight through the day in various locations in Philly. It's just a mess on her. But okay, guess you got the time out.
Hold on. You mean I'm going to get up, I'm going to have my scrambled eggs and some pancakes, and there are going to be guys and gals ready to brawl it out at 10 a.m.?
There's some shows on there, yeah. That start at 10, 11 o'clock a.m. Most of the collective, which is usually which is run by the GCW, they do, oh God, what do they do, about 9-10 shows, Jim, somewhere around there between the two, between the 3 days, you know. That's, and that's an every year thing too. I'm like, it's not just the Philly thing. I'm like, besides a collective, I'm like, there's other various independents doing stuff, you know, around Philly, around the South Jersey area and stuff like that. So yeah, any, you know, anybody, you know, whatever type of wrestling you like, it's, there's something in the area that whole week, you know, starting from that Monday. I know there's shows all the way until Sunday afternoon, you know, like what Jim said. I mean, there's another couple shows in Williamstown, you know, on there, like, you know, that Saturday night, that, you know, that Saturday night. I think the latest show on Saturday night, WrestleMania Saturday, is like 5 o'clock, but there's only like 6 matches on some of the shows, so they'll be done by 7, so, you know, if you need to get home to watch Mania or view Mania, whatever, you'll have time. Yeah, WrestleMania it's kind of a beast in itself, besides for WWE. You know, independent wrestling is all over the place wherever they're at, you know, for Mania. And it's, you know, then you got WrestleCon. You got the WrestleCon shows over there over at the Sheraton, I believe. I think they're running this year.
They're doing WrestleCon's at the Sheraton.
They're Sheraton, okay. Yeah.
The matches that they are having are at the arena, I believe.
Oh, yeah, 2300 Arena. Okay, the old ECW Arena, yeah.
Right. And there are other matches there also. Other companies.
Yeah, I know WWE is doing their, like, their quote unquote, they call it WWE World, but it's like the fan access deal. I know they're running the convention center, you know, so they're not that far probably from where you're at, Jim, doing the RexFest deal.
On there. Because they're 8th in Market and I'm 13th in Locust. So yeah. It's not that far.
No, not by any means. Yeah. But everything's all there.
I might be passing by and going to the arena that night. I don't know yet.
It's Jim in the main event. I mean, ref and Cody and Roman. Finish the story.
Yes. No, if they offered me that, my story would have been finished a long time ago.
That'd be a screw job for me. Yeah, I'd screw the job the hell out of that.
I don't have the TV look that they want.
Well, let me go ahead and let me throw this out here.
So don't want, you know.
To all our listeners, you remember the golden age of wrestling, Hulkamania, ECW. We're talking about the NWO, Stone Cold Steve Austin. You got it. You named it. The Bullet Club, all of that kind of stuff. Well, if you're enjoying old school nostalgia wrestling t-shirts, but you like a comedy twist on it, you can head on over to TeePublic. That is the online shop where you get all of Jim Molyneux's wrestling parody shirts. Most shirts can be found in multiple colors as well. So go on over there, search Jim Molyneux. And once again, it's over at TeePublic. And you can go ahead and get that. You can also follow Jim on Twitter, now known as X, over at JimMolyneux. Did I get that one correct this week?
Yes.
Perfect. I like the 5-star referee one. I may actually have to start getting that one. I like that.
I like the rub off of the acknowledge your
referee. Acknowledge your referee. That's right. I like that. Man.
I'll tell you what. Don't order the. Don't order the tie dye one and take and go see the Dudleys because you get some heat from Bubba for wearing.
What happens if he threatens to hurt us and we can say we know Jim?
Then you get hurt even more.
Perfect.
Somebody will be getting a table.
Butster, give the details, everything that's going on with you and your woodworking business, toy making, all that kind of stuff.
May 4th, CFB Kingston, here in Kingston, Ontario. It's a Saturday market. I'll be there. And then on May 11th, I will be at the Isabel Bader Theater, another Sunday market there. And that's it. Booked up so far this year on Facebook, CB79 Wooden Toy Maker.
Perfect. Love it, love it, love it. You guys got all the names, the details. Nick, where can people find you social media wise?
All right, right. So where the hell is it at? Jesus Christ.
I'm just
wherever the left
Stan
side
Hansen needs to give his glasses.
Yeah, I'm beyond Stan Hansen on that. Yeah, right over there. It's there.
There it
is. Oh, look at that.
There we are.
That's what happens at 20 after 10 at night.
All right. If you want to follow, yeah, if you want to follow Jim on social media, as I said before, Twitter, now known as X, it's JimMolyneux. If you'd like to follow the Butster, what is your X handle?
GOTNEWF2291.
Perfect. Guys, you got the details. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We covered a lot of material. Hopefully you had some laughs, had some fun. We will be back again next week, I promise. I'm not going to have any teeth taken out, and I'm not leading anyone on any spiritual retreats. So it looks like I'm going to be good for the long haul. All right. For Ref Nick Papa G, for the legend Jim Molyneux, for the wooden toy maker, Mr. Ass Man, I am Mike Freeland. It's been real and fun. Catch you guys next time on Front Row Material and Front Row Referee. Thank you.